Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for going to back to my channel. This is about the failure to renovate the Parliament of the United Kingdom, the mother of parliaments, as John Bright called it. So it's been in need of a lot of work since at least 2010, and members of Parliament and peers in the UK have known this. Some people inaccurately called it Big Ben. Big Ben only refers to that clock, named after Ben Hall, the clerk who works at it builds. That's not even the name of the tower. That's the Elizabeth Tower, the Palace of Westminster. You can call it, even though none of the royal families lived there for centuries. But legally, yes, it is a royal palace. So they have dithered while Rome burned, as it were. And whilst they've delayed, the cost has gone up and up and up. So it needs major restoration. This masterpiece by Sir Charles Barry and Augustus Pugin, begun after the old one, burnt down in 1834. I'm not sure what they did in the interim because it took over 30 years to complete. And when they had these special sticks they used for voting, I don't know, to indicate how many votes for the eyes and the nose and so forth. And those were burnt every so often, but the fire went out of control. The fire brigade arrived. They could save Westminster Hall, the oldest bit built under William Rufus, about 1100, or they could save the House of Lords Chamber, House of Commons Chamber. They opted to save Westminster Hall, I think the correct decision, and had to rebuild the rest. So although it looks medieval, it's faux medieval, part of that Victorian craze for all things medieval. But the place is gradually falling down. And the longer they leave it, the higher the bill goes. But no one has grasped the nettle. And it is symptomatic of a failure of leadership in the United Kingdom over the last half generation. The Labour government was there when it's discovered. They were out of office 14 years of Conservative government, first 5 years in coalition with the Liberal Democrats, and now a Labour government again. So all three major parties are to blame. And even the minor parties don't seem to propose doing something about it, because surely they don't want this piece of national heritage, such an iconic building, to collapse. And again, that would seem to symbolise the United Kingdom's decline and fall. So it's a 19th century building. It suffers severe structural problems. So the wiring is generations out of date. The ventilation heating doesn't work very well. It suffered from damp. There's asbestos there, which is very bad for people's health. The stonework is crumbling away. There's quite a high risk of fire and stuff like that. So serious work is needed to preserve it and to keep it safe for future generations. So there's a Parliamentary Buildings Restoration and Renewal Act 2019 about this, but they haven't actually allotted money to do it. Now, the cheapest way to do it was everybody move out, and take years to rebuild, take at least 19 years. The highest estimate is 28 years. These things are always behind schedule, always over budget. So let's go just be on the safe side, go with the highest estimate, £13 billion in 28 years. 28 years. Wow, a generation. Then there's another way, which is partly moving out and phased work. But of course, it costs more and it takes longer. £18.5 billion in 43 years. Or do it whilst everybody's there, and it costs more, though not hugely more, £22 billion up to 76 years. Well, that's really just working whilst you're there. And it's never been politically acceptable to do it, because when the news broke, it was the time of the parliamentary expenses scandal, and we can't be seen to be spending more money on ourselves. But the politicians would not be lining their own pockets. Almost all of them stole from the public, like David Cameron. A handful went to prison. Both Labour and Conservative politicians in the House of Commons, in the House of Lords. But, you know, it should have been most of them, actually, ripping us off with their expenses, things so they weren't actually spending the money. Very rich people taking money by force off people who were, you know, on minimum wage. So absolute thieves. Anyway, so this would not have been helping them. It would have been preserving the building for future generations. But as usual, they've lacked the guts to do it, because we know the demagogues will misrepresent it as politicians splurging money themselves. That's not the case, because the work won't be finished for years. And many of the current MPs won't be in politics anymore by the time it's finished, or won't even be alive. But they've kicked the can down the road, even though they know the problem has got worse. And no one's had the mettle to say, we're doing it, popular or unpopular, I don't care. We're doing the right thing, and we're not caring. We're not going to care what the gutter press says about it. We don't care if it queers the pitch for the next election. We're doing the right thing. So nobody has got any decency. Nobody seems to have any strength of character to do this in any party. So it's deeply dispiriting. So what would you do if you moved out? Now, there's a possibility of the peers moving out, first of all, and then the Commons using the House of Lords chamber. When that was finished, then they're moving back into their own chamber, doing the House of Lords. And so where would the House of Lords move? Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg suggests they go to York, they watch the horse races, more or less the geographic centre of the United Kingdom. Used to be the major city of Northern England, the second city of England for some centuries. No possibility would be Birmingham, an easy day trip from London, just over an hour by train. And you could easily spend an hour going across London. So that's a possibility. But say, well, why don't you give it to a smaller city, spread the money around, then the peers will be spending money somewhere else. You know, you could put it in Northern Ireland or Wales or Scotland to emphasize the unity of the United Kingdom, that this is not just about England, it's about the whole UK. And, you know, any major city within the UK is only a 1 hour flight from London. So but they want to discourage flying. Now, one thing is to just rent out that Queen Elizabeth Conference Center, which is just behind the Supreme Court, so, you know, just beyond Parliament Square. And that's like a 5 minute walk from the Parliament buildings. They can easily go to all the press conferences, all to other government ministry, something like that. The one thing that's not spreading money around very much. But what will they do? And, you know, I think they'll probably go for the worst option, the slowest option, the one they think meets the path of least resistance, even though that's going to cost most money, just typical. And they have delayed and delayed. So there have been some minor refurbishments going on, so it hasn't actually collapsed. But they keep delaying this. It's going to take decades. All right. So the electrics are not working properly. The fire safety systems are unfit for purpose. The stonework is deteriorating all the time. Water is coming in and so on. OK, so lowest estimate is £7 billion. I'm sure that's laughably inadequate. Could be up to £22 billion. But if you do that over 70 years, that's not very much a year, considering that the UK spends about £1.5 trillion every single year. Goodness. So what do you think should be done? And do you know a single politician who said, OK, we're going to do the right thing. And if I lose votes or lose my seats, I don't care. We want that building still standing there. What a humiliation would be if it weren't. You have to have a Parliament building. All right. Maybe it could be a smaller, cheaper one. If you don't want that building, all right, you could sell it. Could that be the most amazing house in the world or luxury hotel and just use some very cheap functional office block that's environmentally friendly? That's a possibility. I mean, the Greens might have the gumption to suggest that, but nobody has had the nerve to say that. So you see how these politicians, how there's so much sweet talk election time. They're all forked tongue. They won't tell the plain truth to people. But I suppose voters penalise straight talking. So we get the politicians that we deserve, often mendacious and evil. And unwilling to take decisions in the national interest for fear that they might hand ammunition to the opposition. Nobody will do what's good for the public when there's any risk to their own career. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecannon7@gmail.com. Goodbye.